Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Shane Kennedy, a youth minister at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ. Let's tune in now for Shane's message.
Good morning, church family, and good morning to all those who are watching the live stream at home. We are glad that you have joined us for worship this morning. I know that most of you know who I am, but I know that there may be some watching who don't know who I am. So my name is Shane Kennedy, and I am the youth minister here at 10th and Broad. I have the privilege of getting to work with our high school and middle school students. We hope that you are blessed this morning as we worship together and as we spend time in God's Word. Well, my wife and I, we have two children. We have a 5-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter. And we do our best to try and be good parents, and we hope one day that our kids will grow up to be decent and kind human beings. And one of the lessons we've been teaching a lot frequently is we've been trying to teach them how to share. And if you have ever had young children, or if you've ever been around young children, you know they do not like to share. You would think it's one of the cruelest things that we do to our children by the way that they react whenever we force them to share a toy with a sibling or with a friend. Some of the most emotional breakdowns have happened when we have made them share. But we're working on it. We encourage them to share with one another. We try to use different resources that promote sharing. We read books and we watch TV shows that promote sharing. One of the best children's shows is the show Daniel Tiger. How many of you are familiar with Daniel Tiger? It's kind of a cartoon spinoff of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Probably many of you know that one. But it teaches really good lessons for your children, good emotional and social lessons. And there's one on sharing, and often these lessons are accompanied with songs that help teach the lesson as well. And the song about sharing is, "You can take a turn and then I'll get it back. I can take a turn and then you'll get it back." And my kids know the song, it's catchy, and they'll sing the song, but they still don't want to share. So we try to communicate it to them, but they are just not convinced that it is better to share. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about sharing. And as Christians, we actually have something incredible to share, that we get to share with others the life that can be found in Jesus. If anyone should be motivated to share, it should be the church. But sometimes, we are just not convinced that it's better to share. Sometimes I think we can get very comfortable and even kind of self-focused, and we stay in our little church bubble and surround ourselves with other Christians, and we miss out on sharing Jesus with a world that desperately needs him. So this morning, we're going to start a new sermon series that Ken allowed me to kick off, and the sermon series is called A Blueprint for Discipleship. And the first step of making disciples is learning how to share. Well, if you've been paying attention, you've heard Ken say it over and over again from up here, and it's kind of become a mantra for our church, that we want to be disciples who are making disciples. That we believe that the mission that Jesus gave to his disciples before he left the earth to return to be with the Father, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. We believe that mission that he gave to the disciples is still the mission of the church today. But if you're like me, that mission to go make disciples may feel a little overwhelming or may be a little scary or intimidating at times. I know many of us desire to be a part of what God's doing in the world, that we want to help grow his kingdom, that we want to help other people come to know Jesus. But I think sometimes we just don't know how to do that. How can we go about introducing our non-Christian friends and coworkers and neighbors to Jesus? I know many of us may feel inadequate, that we don't have the right words to say, or we don't know what to do, or we may fear rejection or awkwardness or making someone feel uncomfortable. We want to make disciples of Jesus, but we're not sure how. Well, if you really want a model for how to make disciples, who better to look at than to look at Jesus? And so we're going to look at his ministry and what he did to invite people into following him and being his disciples, and how he helped those disciples to grow and mature. And we're going to see how we can follow his example in our lives. So over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at this model of how Jesus made and grew disciples and talk about how can we follow that model in our own lives. And there's a book that our leadership, our elders, and our ministers have been reading together called Disciple Shift. And in that book, the book identifies four different parts or four different steps to this model of discipleship that we can learn from Jesus. So here are the four different parts. The first part is to share, and that's the one we're going to focus on this morning. But Jesus would share the truth about who he is and about his kingdom. And he did that both through his words, through his teachings, and also his works, through his actions and his miracles. And as he shared this truth with people, he gave them an opportunity to respond to him. And that leads to the second part, which is to connect. That when people respond to Jesus, he then connected with them in relationship. You think about the disciples that he called, as you think about these fishermen and tax collectors, that he invited them to come follow him, and once they chose to follow him, Jesus then forms close, deep relationships with them as they walked closely beside him for the next couple of years. And then the third step is minister. That once these followers are walking in relationship with Jesus, he then trains them to minister and serve others. That he demonstrates for them what it looks like to love others, and he invites them to do the same. And the fourth step of this model is disciple. That after Jesus trains them and helps them to grow, he sends them out to go be disciple makers themselves, to go invite others to come and follow Jesus. And as you follow this story in Scripture, you see this model that Jesus used in his disciples. The disciples then repeated it, that they went and shared with others the truth about Jesus. And they connected with them in relationship. And they taught these new disciples to minister and to serve. And finally, they sent them out to go make more disciples. And you see this process repeated again and again. So each week we're going to look at the different parts of this model, look at how we see it in Jesus' life, and talk about how can we live this out in our own lives as well. So this morning, we're going to look at that first step. We're going to talk about how to share. So disciple making begins by sharing. I think we see that from Jesus. And there's two ways that Jesus shared that I want to focus on, that he would share his life with others, and he would share the gospel. He would share the truth about who he is. So I think next week we'll probably talk a lot about the importance of relationship, especially as we talk about the connect step. But relationship is really a key part of every part of the process in making disciples. That you need to be able to enter into others' worlds and share your life with them the way we see Jesus do that. So Jesus shared his life with others. I think we see that even in his act of coming into the world, in his incarnation, that he was willing to leave his place in heaven and enter into our world and become a man and share his life with us. Whereas John describes it in his first chapter of his gospel, he said that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So Jesus was willing to enter into our world so that we could know him and experience relationship with him. And just as Jesus entered into our world, we see him continue throughout his ministry to enter into people's lives, forming relationships with them so that they may have the opportunity to know his love. I think about the ways he entered into the life of the Samaritan woman at the well, that he breaks down even some social barriers in talking and engaging with this woman and talking to her about this living water that she can experience. Or I think about how he entered the world of Zacchaeus, the hated tax collector up in a tree, that Jesus was willing to call him down and say, I want to go to your house. And he formed a relationship with Zacchaeus. Or I think of how he entered the world of the violent, demon-possessed man who lived among the tombs next to the Sea of Galilee. And how even when other people wanted to avoid this man, Jesus was willing to engage with this man and bring healing to his life. See, Jesus entered into people's worlds and shared his life with them so that they may know his love. And we can follow Jesus' example of how he shared his life with others. That just as Jesus entered into a lost and hurting world, so should we enter into the lives of people around us so that they may know his love. I think if we're going to reach people for Jesus, we must be willing to enter into their lives and form relationships with them. You've probably heard the phrase before, that people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. I think that's true when it comes to making disciples. That they don't care about the truth that you have about Jesus unless they know that you truly care about them. I think that sharing with others starts with relationship. And I really think the way that we love others and care for others is actually one of our greatest witnesses to the love of Jesus. Jesus said it to his disciples. He said it himself in John 13:35. He said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." See, love is supposed to be a defining characteristic of Jesus' disciples. Or Paul says it in another way in Ephesians 5:1-2. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." See, love must be the primary characteristic of disciple makers, that we cannot truly share Jesus without love. That loving relationships create a bridge over which the truth about Jesus can be communicated and received. So those loving relationships are how we help other people to know Jesus. There's a man named Bobby Harrington that planted a church in Nashville, Tennessee, along with his family. And whenever he first set out in planting this church, Bobby remembers feeling very overwhelmed with the mission in front of him. This was the first time for him to work outside of the security of an established church. And he felt very intimidated as he thought about how he could reach this community for Jesus. Not knowing where to begin, he started out just by praying and fasting. He turns to God and asks him for help. And as he spends time praying, he starts to come up with a plan of action. That he decides that he is going to purposely try to enter into different contexts where he can make contact and form relationships with people who are unchurched. And being a Canadian, both he and his son really loved hockey. And they noticed that in the community hockey leagues, there wasn't very many Christians. And so they decided that they were going to purposefully and intentionally immerse themselves into this world so that they could form relationships with the players and their families with the hopes of being able to share Jesus with them. And so Bobby, he signed up to coach two different teams. And his son, who was a young, skilled hockey player and a young Christian, he decided to join his dad on this mission. And so they started to purposely trying to get to know people in this community and form relationships with them, to enter into their world and share their lives with them. And over time, they were able to form really close relationships. And then it became very natural for them to invite these people to come visit their church, to come visit the church plant. And many of the families ended up visiting the church. And during his second year of coaching, over half of the families on their hockey team were now attending their church and getting to know Jesus. And so in the early days of his church plant, they were even known as the hockey church. And so he purposely entered into people's world and shared his life with them. And because of that, God opened the door for him to be able to share Jesus with these people. So when you look at your world, at your neighbors, your relatives, your coworkers, and your classmates, where is God calling you to enter into the lives of others so that you can share his love? I love that in the story, Bobby began with prayer and fasting. And I think that's a very natural place, especially a natural place to start, especially if you feel overwhelmed with this mission, to turn to God and say, "God, I don't know if I can do this on my own, but I'm going to rely on you." And I think when we depend on God in prayer and we pray for those opportunities, and we intentionally enter into people's lives and form relationships, I think God is going to open doors for us to be able to share Christ with others. So disciple-making starts with relationships. But it's relationships with a purpose. that we want to build relationships with people so that we can introduce them to Jesus and invite them to respond to him. See, that's what Jesus did. Not only did he love people and form relationships with them, but he gave people an invitation that Jesus invited them to respond to him. He invited them to come follow me. So following his example, we should invite people to respond to Jesus. If we never get to that point where we can help people encounter Jesus, then we've kind of missed the point. That not only do we want to share our lives with people, but we want to be able to share the truth about Jesus and the life that they can find in him. And this step may be a little more intimidating to some. Some of you may be very comfortable with building relationships with others, but how do you introduce Jesus into that relationship? Well, this step, sometimes it may look like simply inviting someone to church. But that's not a bad first step. But sometimes that can open doors to have more spiritual conversations with a friend. But there are some people that would be very hesitant to step inside of a church building, especially now during a pandemic. And so maybe the first step in trying to share Jesus with other people, maybe just inviting someone to a cup of coffee and trying to have a spiritual conversation with them. Or maybe it's inviting someone to discover God and to do a discovery Bible study together. Some of y'all have gotten experience doing discovery Bible studies. It's something we did last summer on Sunday nights that we practiced with one another. But it's just a simple way to study the Bible together that almost anyone could learn how to do. But maybe it's inviting someone to study the Bible with you. Or maybe it's inviting them to come to a discipleship group that you're a part of. That may be a way of sharing the gospel, sharing Jesus with other people. Well, if you want to be a disciple who wants to make disciples, I challenge you this morning to think about what your next step is. What is your next step in being someone who is a disciple who's making disciples? Maybe the next step for you is prayer. And I think that's a good step for all of us, but maybe that's where you need to start, is praying to God. God, can you just give me the opportunity to be able to share Jesus with someone? Can you make it obvious to me of someone in my life that you want me to reach out to? Could you give me the courage to be able to form a relationship with this person and to share Jesus with them? So maybe that's your next step. Maybe a next step for you is maybe God has placed someone on your heart and you feel like you just need to enter into that person's world and to form a deeper relationship with them, to show them the love of Christ through relationship. Or maybe a next step with you is maybe there's someone you have a close relationship with and you want to be able to share Jesus with them. And so maybe it's inviting them to study the Bible together. Maybe it's inviting them to church. But whatever it is, whatever your next step is, I encourage you to be willing to take that step of faith and to trust God and be willing to share Jesus with someone else because we believe it's worth it. We believe that Jesus is the one who moves people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We believe that sharing Jesus with others is worth it because they get to experience the hope and the life that is found in him. So as Christians, we have something incredible to share with others. So won't you share?